Good Thursday. Today is May the 22nd, and you're listening to My Farm. While the Farm Bill is a constant topic of discussion among commodity organizations, the House is getting busy on some different reconciliation package potentials, as is the Senate. The question is, will these be able to address some of the key needs, or do we need to save some things so we get a Farm Bill? All the details on that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, last week the House Ag Committee met and advanced its piece of the budget reconciliation package on a mostly a party line vote. The House Ag provisions improved the farmer safety net from the 2018 Farm Bill, but also cut a projected $290 billion out of food assistance over the next decade. Under the plan, farmers would see better reference prices, a broader band protection level under commodity and insurance programs, and see the payment limit for prime programs increased. The bill also seeks to shift food assistance spending to the states to make up the cuts to those programs. Now, the Ag Committee is just one of the committees that held this markup session on different sections of the Farm Bill to add to a budget reconciliation package that the House has been putting together. It's meant primarily to extend the 2017 tax cuts. This one big beautiful bill, as it's been called, would also cut social spending in programs such as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Now, if the full reconciliation bill passes, the Senate is likely to change the ag provisions. The Senate budget plan, for instance, calls for cutting only $1 billion from the SNAP program. Now, under the bill, states would pay at least 5% of the SNAP benefit costs starting in 2028. States with higher error rates on payments could end up paying 25%, which could top $1 billion for some of those states. The bill also increases state administrative costs. Another provision would tighten rules around SNAP eligibility, especially for people considered able-bodied and without dependents who are not meeting work requirements for the program. The bill also would require parents with children aged 7 or older to have at least one adult working or volunteering 20 hours a week, or they would risk losing their food benefits. House Ag Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania stressed that the SNAP costs have risen 80% since 2019, while the payment error rate nationally averages nearly 12%. Clearly, he said, SNAP is not working as Congress intended it to. As far as farm program provisions, Republicans highlighted some of the challenges facing farmers right now and how the package would help the rural economy. Farmers are struggling with production costs up over 30% and commodity prices relatively low, as they're in desperate need of some degree of relief, according to Representative Tracy Mann from Kansas. And Representative Randy Fenstra from Iowa said the bill would offer, quote, much needed relief to producers. You look at our farming community and they are struggling economically. Each and every one of them don't always know how they're going to make their next operational loan payment. For the farmer's safety net, the bill increases reference prices for the price loss coverage, or the PLC program, in line with the Farm Bill package that passed out of the committee back last year. So those would include corn at $4.10 a bushel, soybeans at $10 a bushel, and wheat at $6.35 a bushel. For the Ag Risk Coverage Program, or the ARC, both ARC County and the ARC Guarantee would increase from 86 to 90% for benchmark revenue. The maximum payment rate for ARC County and ARC Individual would also increase from 10% to 12.5% of that benchmark revenue. The bill also raises the loan rate for non-recourse marketing loans to producers. For corn, the new loan rate would be $2.42 a bushel. It's $6.82 for a bushel of soybeans and $3.72 a bushel for wheat. The adjusted gross income limit for producers would remain at $900,000, except for individuals or legal entities that demonstrate at least 75% of their income is derived from farming, ranching, or silviculture. For base acres, the bill adds a mechanism to add 30 million base acres, reflecting that large tracts of farmland have gone into production, but those acres have been excluded from commodity programs. Eligibility to enroll those acres will be limited based on planted acres and the allocation formula that the USDA will use to spread out the enrollment. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We want to change directions, talk about trade once again like we did yesterday. You know, the current fiscal year for our nation's ag trade recently reached its midway point. But what are some of the trends both month over month and year over year? Well, USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
A rise in U.S. ag exports in March.
Ag exports were at $16.1 billion, which is 3% above last year and 18% above February.
And lower ag imports compared to exports for that same month.
March ag imports posted at $20.6 billion, or 12% above last year, and growing 15% over the previous month.
According to economist James Kaufman, per USDA's latest ag trade outlook. Yet,
for the month of March, despite the growth in exports, the trade balance was negative at $4.6 billion, with imports being larger than exports.
The month-over-month and year-over-year export increase was fueled by high-value products.
So far, in fiscal year 2025, high-value products have accounted for 66% of total exports. This includes processed foods, semi-processed goods like vegetable oils, and certain unprocessed goods like fresh fruits. Together, these high-value products grew by 2% and were associated with much of the growth in the export value.
Bulk commodity exports as a whole are 6% lower in fiscal year 2025 to date. In terms of an increase of ag imports,
the largest commodity group that the U.S. imports is fresh and frozen fruit, which accounts for almost 11% of total imports so far this fiscal year. And this has grown 12% from last year.
The latest U.S. ag trade outlook is also significant in that it reaches the halfway point of the fiscal year. According to Kaufman,
in the first 6 months of the fiscal year, ag exports were $93.7 billion, which is 1% below 2024. In comparison, ag imports were $114.4 billion, which is 13% above 2024.
Breaking down the increase in the ag trade imbalance over the first 6 months of the fiscal year,
imports exceeded exports by $20.8 billion in the first half of the fiscal year, growing significantly from the $7.1 billion posted this time in 2024.
The continued growth path of imports is fueled by a strong U.S. dollar, increasing consumption in a growing economy, and some importation ahead of anticipated tariffs.
Has been strong across almost all commodity groups.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.